Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spark Radio Show, filled with strategies, possibilities, action, resources, and knowledge that may be the spark of a better solution to ignite a positive change in your life. The number to call if you have questions for Melanie or any of our guests is area code 347-215-8390. Now, here's your host, Ms. Melanie.
Good morning, afternoon, evening, from wherever you are calling from this beautiful day. I am Ms. Melanie, your host for Spark, and I am so excited that you are here with us this beautiful day. I am having interesting tech issues, so from no internet, which I got, yay, to our fire that just wanted to see keep right on crackling. So I hope wherever you are in the world that you are finding some beauty and some peace in this day. And I'm so excited to bring today's guest to you on the topic of Sparks of Soul Refinement with Reverend Dr. Katie Valentine. I had the opportunity of meeting Katie recently in a program we were in together on intuitive energy scanning and felt such a resonance and an alignment with her and am fascinated by the work she is doing. So I invited her to be a guest with us today. And Katie began her journey in the academic world, and I'll let her tell you more about what she studied there. And from that came to the insights and openness to spirit in this concept called crystal expansion. So today we'll be exploring your soul refinement, opening up your connection to spirit, maybe understanding of spirit, beyond religion if you were raised with a particular religious doctrine. So if you are with us live, we'll open the lines for questions towards the end of our time together. So exploring now if you're connected to spirit or how, if it's impossible to include your spiritual gifts in your business or work. So at this time, I am so excited to welcome Miss and Reverend and Dr. Katie E. Valentine. Hi, Katie.
Hey, Melanie. Thank you so much for having me. Such great energy. And sorry about your tech issues, but you sound great now.
Oh, good. Thank you. Yeah, well, it's one of those things where when you go to connect and the internet's gone, you're like, what? Not now.
Right.
Took a breath.
Yes.
Yes.
Right. Once right before a webinar, my computer decided it needed to update its operating system. So I get it.
Oh, yeah. It takes longer than a couple seconds. So
yes.
Little troubleshooting, loose cords. We fixed it. So Reverend Dr. Katie E. Valentine. It's interesting because not everyone uses their middle initial. So I did want to ask you about that. Why do you use your middle initial?
Mostly I use it because Katie is fairly diminutive, but I've tried to go by Kate or something else like that in the past years, and it just doesn't work. Like my name and my identity and my kind of imprint is Katie. But a lot of people think of a little girl with pigtails. So I put it in the middle initial.
Now that makes sense.
Give a little gravitas. Yeah.
Well, but if Katie is who you have been your whole life, and that's who you are, to keep that as your name, that connection is powerful.
And
you're right. For some people, there is a different image.
There's a different image. And my given name is Katie. It's not Catherine.
Oh.
And so, Yeah, so I use the middle initial in there. But like, it's not like people go around calling me Katie E. You know, everyone just calls me Katie, which everyone listening, please feel free to do.
Got it. So let's start, first of all, with your journey through academia to where you are now. How did you get here?
Oh, my goodness. Well, we'll start kind of where I am, and then maybe I'll back up for a minute to tell the story. But right now what I do is I help people, really specifically entrepreneurs, leaders, and people in a variety of walks of life, become crystal expansive, experience spiritual healing, really get out there using their full selves, including their spiritual selves, in their sacred work and their life and their journey. Where I began was I was in academics, like you said, so I have a PhD in the New Testament. So I always thought from the time I started this silly schooling project that I would be a professor somewhere, like a professor in a small liberal arts college. I adjuncted a lot. I taught a lot of those classes. I really loved it. And the academic market is just horrific right now. And certainly when I quit it about 10 years ago, when I kind of quit the academic scene in terms of searching for a job, it was better than it is now, but not by a lot. And I was like having some interviews, getting some traction, but never getting on kind of all the way to the end position. And I looked at my spouse one day and I said, why are we doing this for me to get some position where I'm going to be in a small liberal arts college and we're going to have to move halfway across the country for a really low salary? That seems really silly. And spirit kept on prompting me to do other things. And so I took the plunge. I was already an ordained minister. I had served in a church, and I should preface that by saying I served in nice churches. I'm the kind of Christian who, like, we really like fulfilling the mission of Jesus in terms of making the world a better place. We don't talk about hellfire and damnation. Think of us as hippie Christians, I would say. So I had already been doing that. I had been studying chakras and energy along the way. So I had been kind of had both sides of all my spiritual selves in place. And I thought, I think other people need help with this too. I can't be the only one who's found it tough to be in a kind of Christian environment and also like studying chakras without wanting to abandon the mission, the life, the messages of Jesus. So I started helping people combine those two. Fast forward 7 years, here we are.
Well, and I'm just because it's connecting with me right now. How did the term crystal expansion or crystal expansion come to be?
I have been thinking about that, and for the life of me, I cannot remember. It's probably about a year and a half or 2 years old. So I can only think it was probably one of those divine sparks, you know, that came as I was talking to someone or in meditation. I wish I had a better story about it, but I don't want to lie and make a story up that doesn't have good energy. So I have no idea. I think that it finally... The term, anyway, captures what I've been doing for about 20 or 25 years. And so for me, it's nothing particularly new because I've been doing it in my own life. And I've been called to do it. I've been directed to do it. Like Spirit has directed me to do this. And so where I came up with the term, I don't know. I'll just say thank you to my guides and we'll leave it at that. I don't know who to credit.
Well, yeah. And sometimes it is. It just shows up. Or I know there are times where I'm speaking and there'll be this synchronicity that happens in the midst of that speaking or training or coaching, right? And it's like, wow, that was good.
So yes.
Sometimes it just does happen like that. And connected to that, we're going to do a couple other terms that I resonated with as I've learned more about you. So how did the title Spiritual Strategist come about?
That one came about less than a year ago, probably about 6 months, 9 months ago. And I was in the middle of a pivot with my own business, with my own coaching. So for years, I was helping Christians who wanted to be metaphysical, become metaphysical, leaving behind like the guilt and the shame that often went along with, you know, studying chakras while still following Jesus. I was pivoting into helping people in new ways, really businesses, entrepreneurs, leaders, really embrace their full spiritual side, whether or not they identify as Christian now. And I also help them with their businesses. And so I help with strategy because I love the concrete, practical nuts and bolts, like your spirituality should make a difference in your everyday life. It is not all woo and clouds and angels and harps, although all of that is great too, but it needs to come into our everyday lives. So that strategy piece I really love. And of course, you know, at heart, I'm a spiritual person, and that's what the world that I love and love to help people with. And so I think in meditation one day, like, what is it exactly that I do? I'm a coach. That's kind of generic. What is it? And it was spiritual strategist. So literally helping people form strategies to live their best spiritual lives and impact their own life and their work and their business. And I think the misnomer that happens a lot in these woo-woo communities and these metaphysical communities is, oh, it's all just divine timing. It's all just divine flow. The right people will come to me. Well, there's some truth to that, but it also takes a bit of strategy. Like, we need to think about that. What are the messages we're putting out there to attract the right people to us? And then let spirit do the work, but we have to do our homework with that strategy piece.
And so speaks to both the logical, the linear, the action, the doing, as well as the open, creative, inspired being.
Yeah.
That is the piece that I know for me, that I shared this in the training that we went through, that while I have used my spiritual gifts in my work as a science, psychology, education trained person and with a passion for neuroscience research, a lot of people know me as the brain lady, that I know all of this about how to get the best performance from your brain and your mind and then how to then live your best life in the process. And I've yet to step boldly into acknowledging the spiritual gifts I use when I'm coaching, the inspiration, the divine inspiration, intuition that I get when I'm speaking or coaching. And so I'm in a space. So hearing you talk about embracing this and being bold about it, for me, the timing is right in my life. And like you said, yes, I did, I think, attract the right people, but being in the right place in that program at that time connected us. And so for me now, having the models of people like Greg Braden, for example, who is a geologist but is also very spiritual, and you as well. And I think we're in a time right now where people are searching and seeking to figure out that purpose and why am I here and how can I expand and explore and connect to that matrix, source, power, quantum field, all of those the energies, because we are energy and we are connected by energy, that people, I think, are feeling that more right now. Are you getting a sense of that too?
Oh, definitely. And, you know, I just finished watching like Three Body Problem, the popular kind of sci-fi show on Netflix, where they talk a lot about the quantum state. It's really cool if anyone hasn't watched it yet. But episode 5 gets into all these like quantum realities. And at its heart, you know, that ties so deeply into our spirituality, because we are here on planet Earth. And, you know, I hear people talk about their spiritual lives a lot too. Well, if it's supposed to happen, it'll happen. Well, no, you know, I could probably refer them to you, Melanie, because if our brains are not in really good states, we're not going to be able to receive spiritual information. We have to be able to calm our brains down. We have to calm our nervous systems down. We have to really work with the universe in order to get that quantum information.
What was the name of that show, Katie?
The Three Body Problem on Netflix. I just downloaded the book too, so I'm going to read the book soon too. It's a fun show.
And of course, Netflix, that's one of the streaming services I don't have. So,
you don't have,
yeah.
Netflix.
I don't have Netflix
one day,
on dial.
with divine flow, it will come to you, I'm sure, but you could also just get the book, I guess.
I will add that to my list. Yes, I have bookshelves in every room of my house, including the bathroom. So if that tells you anything about being a lifelong seeker of knowledge, right, and then translating it for other people. So, yes, being connected and understanding the connection that we have and the power of intuition, that we all have intuition, we all have, but we have stopped listening to it at some point in our lives. So it's really, what's the word I'm trying to think of? It's not squelched, but it's toned down for a lot of us because we've ignored it for so long. Go ahead.
I just wanted to agree with you, really. Yeah, tone down. And then often an error I think I hear people make is they mistake their fear for intuition. Fear is very helpful. It's a very helpful thing to experience if we are truly in danger. But often we're not in danger, but we think we're in danger because of past experiences. And then we say, oh, that's my intuition telling me not to do that. And so we've begun to mistake our intuition only for fear and not for possibility. And that's why I'm just so excited about the work you're doing, because it helps us expand neurologically into possibility.
Well, thank you. And you hit the nail on the head with that, with fear, because that voice in our head spends more time in inner critic mode than in inner coach mode. And that's one of the things I help clients do, is to how to get that voice that has messaging to protect us from when we were young, then it comes out in times where the situation is not quite the same. We're not the same people. How do we work with that? You're right. So that we can stop and say, okay, am I in danger? No, I understand. And how to talk back to the voice. I understand you're trying to keep me safe. I got this. You can take a nap now. And so people are like, what? Talk to the voice in my head? Yes, absolutely. And to find that centered space. And very often, that's a very good point of asking, is this coming from fear to keep me safe, or is it something else?
Yeah, and on a spiritual level, I do quite a similar process. Okay, let's talk to it. And often with that fear that we mistake for intuition, What I've experienced is that people, myself included, we tried to push it away, but that never works. It just comes, it's like an insistent six-year-old. It will just come back and knock louder and louder and louder until we pay attention to it.
Yes. And we can process
and so
through it. One of the things
we can process
I love about
it,
the work. The work with chakras and energy. And I never thought of that as being, and some people might look at that as being too woo-woo for Christianity. And I just look at it as another way to move energy in the body where it's stuck, and that there's so much power through tapping, through other chakra work, that we don't know what we don't know until we know it, right? So we learn what we learn in school, which is woefully inadequate for the culture in which we live right now, and we don't learn about how to understand and get the messages from our body, from our intuition, from our divine source, because we become disconnected and there's so much noise. Let's talk about that a little bit, the noise that's going on and what you've observed and how that's creating some challenges for people in truly connecting to spirit.
Okay, so I'm going to just be brutally honest. Y'all, if I can do it, you can do it, because I am very easily distracted. I love social media. I'm very extroverted. I like being and doing lots of different things. So for me to quiet myself, put my butt in a chair, meditate, and connect with source is not easy, but I do it. And I know if I can do it, everyone can do it. So we have to find ways to cut through the noise, to and I think that's really a fear for most of us, of listening to our own inner self, listening to our own inner wisdom. And when we do connect with that source energy, with that spirit energy, our own inner wisdom becomes amplified. And we're drawing wisdom from source, we're drawing wisdom from our guides, we're drawing wisdom from ourselves, from our own souls, so that we can cut through the noise, you know, kind of put some of the noise aside. A common thing I hear people say is, oh, no, I can't do it. I just can't meditate. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Because I can do it. And believe me, if I can, my brain is so busy. I know if I can do it, like anyone can do it. So it's really just it's a learned skill like anything else. You have to take the time to learn it. You know, as I just confessed, I love TV. I just watched 8 episodes of The Three-Body Problem. I managed to do that and still stay connected to source. So it's possible to fit everything you love in.
Yes, and I have had clients who have said the same thing. I can't meditate. And so starting with micro-meditation moments and building up to longer periods and to be able to just have those moments of breath where it's breathing in and center and calm and allowing that connection. And I agree with you that like any skill, it just takes practice. And having a guide, a coach, a teacher, a resource that works for you. So just because you haven't been able to do it with one model doesn't mean it's impossible for you.
Right.
Agreed.
Right.
So looking at, I want to talk about soul cords. That was the other term that I wanted to explore because that is a very powerful image. What did you have in mind when you coined Soul Forge?
Yeah, so this one I do have a story for, and this really comes directly with the help of my guides. So I began a program to become a shamanic, to become a shamanic practitioner in 2022. And so this is a year-long program that I did in Ireland. I live in Ireland. My accent is not Irish. I am American. And in the course of this program, we do a lot of shamanic journeys. So in the context of the journeys, I began sensing Aphrodite, the Greek goddess. This surprised the heck out of me. I did not expect to see her. When I went back and looked through my journeys, I saw that she was there very consistently, often just on the fringe, just kind of on the edge. In January of 2023, I went to Cyprus for the first time. Wonderful trip, kind of get away from the winter chill trip. Well, Aphrodite's all over Cyprus, and I knew that intellectually, but I didn't know it until I got there. You know, I'm a New Testament scholar. I studied a lot of Greek religion, a lot about Greece and the ancient gods and goddesses, and really I just hadn't given that much time to Aphrodite. Suddenly she is everywhere there. And I began to feel pretty connected to her. And I found out that she is associated with ancient copper forges, with the smiths of ancient Cyprus. And there's a lot else about her that really resonated on that particular trip. So come back to Ireland. One of the goddesses of ancient Ireland and the ancient Celtic people is Bridget. And I had been working with Bridget. She had been showing up both as saint and as goddess for me for a long, long time. 15 years at least. And Bridget is also a goddess of the forge. You often see her with like a blacksmith's anvil. And so in the work that I'm doing, focused on Christ and the messages of Jesus, but also accompanied by these two really powerful goddesses, Bridget and Aphrodite, and the term soul forge was born, kind of with the help of all three of them. Because the work that I do is helping people refine their soul, helping people forge their soul, and doing that with the help of spirit. So it's like we're all going to the cosmic blacksmith together with our souls and seeing what comes out the other side. You know, so we're changing that raw material into the refined beauty that emerges from a master craftsman's workshop.
Powerful. Not only image, but story. And that gives, for me, new depth to the title, The Soul Refinement. Again, many of us are living just being busy. So we're just in the busyness of life thinking someday I'll have time to, right? And
right.
Because of that, you know, how we don't pause to invest in that soul refinement process, that piece of our journey beyond what we do in exchange for money every day. And there's so much that more that we can be, do, and have when we open to possibility, when we open to opportunity,
when we start seeking those things and our attention and intention goes there, life is a different experience than we focus on the problems and the hassles and the being exhausted piece of life, particularly for women. I work more with women, with superwomen, and my superwoman sanctuary came about because I was that superwoman who was just doing, and trying to fit in all the things in all the roles that I have as a woman, and as many women do, that time to spend in self-care, which includes time to look at our connection to spirit and that bigger piece. You have a very powerful connection in your spiritual team with women. And I also want to talk about that term spiritual team and guides. Dan, I have a vocabulary list for this interview, okay? Because there are a lot of terms. Because most people aren't familiar with them. It's not in their, it's not in the news. It's not in their, that lexicon of their life experience. So talking about guides and a spiritual team, let's focus on those two terms for a minute.
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah, so guides is if you start to dabble anyone in the woo-woo metaphysical community, you're going to find that term just everywhere, and it's usually not that really well defined. And so I think kind of a generic big picture way to talk about guides is gracious and benevolent spiritual beings who help us on our journey. So an obvious example would be a guardian angel, and most of us are very familiar with that image anyway, even if you didn't grow up with the concept. So a guardian angel could be one of our guides. For me, Bridget and Aphrodite are guides. Jesus is a guide, but for me, Jesus is like guide plus, because Jesus is not only a guide, Jesus is guide of all guides, right? That's who is kind of my cosmic allegiance, I guess. So guides can look at a bunch of different ways and kind of have different energies. So because guides are so varied, there's a big difference between an angel, between a being like Aphrodite, or and then like a power animal or a spirit animal that might accompany you. I prefer to talk about our spiritual team, that we have a spiritual team that can be made up of angelic and celestial beings, that can be made up of more earthy beings like power animals, and then this kind of guide that's the more generic term are also part of our spirit team.
And recently I read something that you had shared about us as human beings being on other people's spiritual team. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, so this is really kind of my own personal revelation. I don't think you're going to find this. You're not going to find this in literature. You're not going to find this in ancient sources. A lot of what we talked about today, we will find in across human culture. So this is really like Katie's personal revelation from several years ago that I began sharing with clients. So I want to own it. I want to own it, and that I could be wrong, but this is my take on it. You know, I don't think we only have guides and spiritual allies that help us. I think we have a spiritual team, but I think we're a team member, because the idea that we have a spiritual team, it can be kind of the height of human hubris and self-centeredness, like, oh no, I have this team and they're here just to do stuff for me. Well, they're probably doing stuff for a lot of people, not just you. Right. They're busy. They're living their lives in whatever spiritual realm and dimension they're in. And then on the other hand, I have a lot of people that think they're not worthy of having any spiritual assistance, any spiritual allies. So I like to strike the balance kind of right in between there. You're a team member. Every member of the team has responsibilities. Right now, you're the team member who is incarnated on planet Earth. You have been given particular missions, particular things to do, and your team members are taking the form of spiritual allies who are assisting you doing that while they're probably doing a bunch of other stuff. There might be another time when you're in the spiritual realm and one of them is here on Earth, and it's your job to help them. So in this member, like, we're all on a baseball team, we're all members, and we're all, you know, we're all contributing. So in that sense, it's not like we have voyeurs who are here kind of watching us, watching our every move. No, we have team members who are supporting us And the more that we can live our mission, the more we're supporting the team, you know, the more home runs we all have. Yeah, and so one day you might be called on to watch one of them. So I say, let's get to know them now.
I love that idea. And what came up for me as I was listening to you describe that were the times in my life where people had said, I wouldn't be here if I hadn't known you, or if I hadn't worked with you, or if I hadn't learned about from you, because now I'm seeing more opportunities. I'm taking more risks, whatever it is, that wasn't in their realm of thinking before working with me or going to a seminar or however the interaction was. And I think to your point, when the metaphor of being a pebble in the stream, that when you do what you do and when you're on purpose and mission, it sends out ripples. So every person that I interact with, for example, interacts with other people. So while I may not be able to change the world on a global level because I don't have a, quote, power position, I know that I can change the world from where I am doing what I'm here to do with the gifts that I have. So, and what I'm really excited about is I've gotten to know you just in a short time, which has literally been weeks, that we've known each other.
Yeah,
so, yeah, that the resonance that we have, and as I continue to learn about you and with you and from you, that it's a right place, right time, because I, as I said, stepping boldly into how I share my spiritual work has always been, there's been a fear around that for me because of the, I know I'm so much more for the science. And while I understand how they work together for other people, it's an either or. So I think that's
right.
Been part of why I haven't just stepped out boldly in the spiritual aspect of what I do up until now.
Well,
so thank you, Katie, for being a nice person.
Yes. you're outed now.
Yes, I'm outed now.
Well, you know, it's completely terrifying. It's completely terrifying. The day I hit publish on my Facebook group, I thought, oh my gosh, all my academic colleagues are going to think I'm nuts. What are my clergy colleagues going to think? Oh, like, why am I doing this? Yet my finger went to publish and I clicked publish because I knew it was what I was supposed to do. But it's absolutely terrifying. It's, you know, because there's so many nut jobs out there that give spirituality a bad name. And so we have to be really, really firm in how we align ourselves, how we ally ourselves, how we express ourselves, to make sure that we're showing the highest vibration possible of the spiritual life. And that's what I aim to do. And really, it means I think those of us who are of high integrity have to stand out above the fray of people who are abusing spirituality and the people who are using it in really irresponsible ways that don't have integrity. Yeah, so it's absolutely terrifying, and I also think it's a moral imperative. It's a moral imperative for us to show the positive and helpful sides of spirituality.
That's like my word for our interview is agreed, that, yes, there are people who are using spirituality for their own greed and power, and that is very frustrating because people want to find the meaning in their life and are searching for that and are vulnerable when they do. And so I agree. I think there's definitely a responsibility to be ethical, to have high integrity, and, you know, I always encourage people to keep seeking. And I can't remember the number. There was a study that I saw recently about, in the United States particularly, how the percent of people that believed in angels was, I want to say it was 75-85%. It was very high. And so sometimes that's the way to get people exploring spirituality, because you talked about guardian angels and angels. And that was one of the things for me, too, just working more with angels and learning that you can ask angels for their assistance. They're there, but they're not going to just jump in and do stuff, because that's part of free will and your experience here on Earth, right? So,
right.
But people don't know to ask. Just to say, hey, you know, well, I did last night when my son was driving from Iowa to Ohio, was asking all the unemployed angels to keep him safe.
The unemployed angels, I love it. I'm imagining them passing the baton as he's on the highway, like the from one state, and then they give it over to the next and the next. I love that.
Yes. Ooh, and I don't know if it was Melanie Beckler who talked about unemployed angels, I think, but they're there. You just, and because the way we look at time as a linear thing because that's what our brains can comprehend. Time probably isn't linear, at least in my exploration. And so when people can start to really open up to those possibilities, then so much more is available. So for someone who is thinking about, or, well, first of all, we'll do a gloss reading again, shamanic journey, because not everyone is familiar with what a shaman is or what they do, and then we'll talk more about the journey.
Sure. So, yeah, so I underwent my shamanic practitioner training, as I said, and so I want to be very clear, I'm not a shaman. That is granted to people after doing this for years. I've only been doing it specifically, you know, about a year and a half now, and I recognized from day one in my training that I had been on a shamanic pathway for a long, long, long time. And so shamanism is really, it's not tied to a religion. It's a very old spiritual practice, way of being. Shamanism is really the ability to travel to the other world, to the spirit world, to other dimensions, however we want to phrase that, collect information from the spirit world and bring it back for the good of the tribe, bring it back for the good of the community. And so in a shamanic journey, then we literally, our consciousness travels to the other world to interact with the world of spirit. Again, this gets beyond the world of kind of proof, scientific proof. However, this is something that has been true across cultures, across time, until the present day. And so many cultures do this, and shamanic journeys strongly resemble one another across time and space. So that there's some really nice anthropological kind of proofs, I guess, there about shamanism. And so in a shamanic journey, then, whoever is taking the journey, under the guide of a practitioner, can take a shamanic journey, enter into the world of spirit, collect valuable information about questions, things that are on their heart, and then bring it back and really begin to integrate that into their own life. So that's something that I love to help people do. I love helping people take the correct shamanic journey for them at that point in time, meet guides, meet other benevolent spiritual beings, and then bring that back into their everyday life. And this is beneficial for absolutely everyone who is willing to take the journey.
And when you say absolutely everyone, I want to talk a little bit about skeptics. Who are skeptical, who say, okay, I'll try this shamanic journey thing, I just don't think it's going to work for me. How do you work or help support skeptics in this process?
Yes, I mean, so for a skeptic, if they're, it would depend to me on what the question is, right? Why are they coming to me to begin with? And I welcome skepticism. I think it's very valuable. I think I would much rather have someone who is a little skeptical on the reality of this than someone who wants to plunge headfirst without any discernment, right? So a skeptic, by the time they get into the journey, is going to be well prepared probably to receive the messages that are there for them. So someone who's skeptical, I would actually begin with talking about these anthropological studies, the study of shamanism across space and time. And maybe talk about like the superstructures of our brains that facilitate awareness of spirit. You know, for some people, they want to talk about shamanic journeys as a journey into the inner self, but that's really not what a shamanic journey is. It's not a guided visualization in order to have self-realization. It is a journey to the world of spirit. And so, you know, if someone is skeptical, that's fine. We always go into a shamanic journey for a particular purpose. It's not just to sort of see what the state of the other world is. We go there because we have a particular question. We can't live in the other world. We have to live in our 3D world. But we can connect to the other world for brief periods of time in the journey state and bring some of that information back. So at some point, we have to take the leap of faith. And after we've done our kind of careful and measured study, try the journey, again, with a particular question in mind. And I would do, I would recommend doing this with the guidance of someone for your first one.
It's helpful. While there are recordings that, of people doing this, the power of having a person live with you allows you to ask questions, to process with someone else rather than, because sometimes there can be some confusion about what you see or the answer that you get or interpreting that. And just having someone to process with is helpful at, in that that journey. And I also love that you talked about the anthropological research, the fact that this process is cross-cultural, it's cross-time. There is a certain universality about this experience. It's not indicative to just one place in the world or right. one culture or one tribe. So that this process has been around for a long time. And a lot of, I think, what's happening now in the world of medicine and in the world of, mostly in Western medicine, there's an expansion to include practices that aren't old as in been around a long time, more Eastern practices, more Native American practices around things like acupuncture, acupressure, like the power of herbs and plants, that when we can use those things in addition to Western medicine, that there are in shamanic journeys and use of all the possible ways that we can support our health, that we can, and that's physical, mental, and emotional health, that there is more available and accessible to us that we haven't been aware of up to now. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely phenomena that's happening. And the more holistic we can approach our life, our health, healing, all of that, you know, the better. And as you said, shamanic journeys in particular are very powerful ways to do that, and they do have commonality across time and culture, and they have very particular cultural resonances. So the way shamanism is practiced in one Native American tribe might be very different than Mongolia, which might be very different than like contemporary urban Ireland, where I live. And so that's part of the beauty of shamanism is that it has a global universality, but it also has very, very local expression. So we can really have the best of all worlds when we're exploring these different healing modalities. And then let them still have respect and integrity within their own context.
Absolutely well said. I want to also make sure today that we touch on how you help people have not only this experience of finding guides and your spiritual team, but you also talk about having that impact in business for leaders and entrepreneurs. So how does utilizing this process of spiritual team and soul forging, how does this help in the world of business and entrepreneurs?
Yeah, absolutely. So first and foremost, it begins always with the personal, right? With our own healing, with our own connection. And of course, our personal, if you're an entrepreneur, your personal is your business as well. That's absolutely connecting you to others. It's your business is not an abstraction that you don't care about, right? You care about it very deeply. And same for anyone in helping professions too. You know, I tend to work with a lot of therapists, a lot of teachers. You know, you're in that profession because you love what you do. You love to assist others. So I think it always begins with that element of personal healing, personal questions that we have. And then the more healed we are, the more able the more we're able to have a really powerful ripple effect. And so doing that inner work is really necessary, A, for your own self, B, for the people that you serve. It helps impact them more deeply, and C, for that ripple effect. Melanie, you mentioned earlier, you know, you can't really, you know, we're not in positions of sort of power to impact the whole world, but that ripple effect is the way that we impact the whole world. You know, absolutely. So those shamanic journeys that, you know, I help leaders, entrepreneurs take to find their spiritual allies, to find the guides for their business, so that they can directly connect to source in their business and see how the spiritual world, how the other world would like to help them expand to increase the ripple effect. You know, all of that is possible with this kind of spiritual strategic work.
Yeah, that helps because, again, for those of us who are entrepreneurs, and I'm included in that, I'm a business of one with some consultant tech support. And but again, when you're a business of one, then go ahead.
Oh, no, I wasn't. I was listening.
Oh, yeah, when you're a business of one and not having a team that you, you know, you can't have a board meeting or a company meeting or a team meeting for insights. And so there are times when it's like, gosh, is this really the way to go? Is this? And so having that external voice, that external coach, athletes have coaches, actors have coaches, successful business leaders have coaches, which is what I always tell people is when you want to get go deeper faster, you find a coach who's been there, done that, and see from the other side of your eyeballs. And as one of my clients says, you can't read the label from inside the jar. So
right.
You need that outside perspective. And so how are some ways that people could work with you, Katie?
Yeah, so occasionally I'll do group classes. So that's an easy kind of entry point to be able to connect to work. I do one-on-one work with people in packages and sessions. And so it really depends on what the question is that they have, what it is they want to work on, and determine if we're a good fit together. And, you know, for those who want to kind of check it out, just I have some freebies and guides and samples, things like that too. And we can always book a free strategy call just to see if it would be a good fit. But primarily it's that one-on-one relationship that lets people, especially entrepreneurs, go really deep in a very safe place, in a safe container with no judgment, explore the things that they need to explore, experience the healing they need to experience, and then come out the other side and even more integrated, whole, and centered you know, so that you can go out there and do that impact work that's calling you.
Absolutely. Thank you. And I invite people to go to your website. Katie's contact information is in the show notes. There's soulforgecoaching.org. Her Instagram handle, you can find her at Rev Dr. Katie, Dr. D-R, R-E-V-D-R-K-A-T-Y. And in her free Facebook group, the Metaphysical Christian, a Soul Forge community. There's a link for that as well. So to learn more, we've come just past the 10-minute mark, which is when I open for questions. And it's interesting because right up until about 10 and a half minutes, there was someone, and I've never had a phone number that was all ones. The digits are all ones. And it had a hand raised symbol. So I'm not sure how that, but the person didn't have the patience to stay till the 10-minute mark. I should have said,
okay, well,
this way we open the line for questions. So hopefully they'll reach out to you and connect with you directly. Because I was looking forward to seeing where 111 is from, or to from what how they were entering with us here in my studio at Blog Talk Radio. So, yeah, if you're listening and you have questions for Katie, please give us a call at 347-215-8390, and I will call out your area code and open your line for questions. Most of my listeners listen to the replays, as I shared with you, so they may be connecting with you after the fact, which would be great. So
awesome. I answer every email, so don't be shy.
Yay. And I have not explored your website in the depth that I intend to. So are there some resources available on your website? And if so, what might some of those be?
Yeah, definitely. And the website is currently undergoing a bit of a overhaul and rehaul. So it's in that it's where I wish time wasn't so linear so I could just snap my fingers and have it be complete. But yes. Within that, you're going to find some freebies. You'll find links to like my YouTube videos. I've got hundreds of videos on there so you can explore, you know, whatever topic interests you until your heart is content. I have links to my podcast. I've got three podcasts that I've been on over the years. They all have really fabulous information from entrepreneurship all the way just to living and deconstructing Christian faith. The free guide that I have that may be the most helpful for a lot of people is my guide called Saints, Shamans, Gods, and Goddesses, showing you how to connect to Indigenous beings. I use Ireland as an example because it happens to be where I live, but this is a process that you can use to connect to beings wherever you are and whatever your ancestry and culture may be, and how that fits into a crystal expansive framework. And so that's really fun. I had a lot of fun putting that together.
And how can people best access that guide, Katie?
It just goes straight to my website. That's the easiest way. You'll see it right at the top as a download button, and then the PDF will be whisked to your inbox right away.
Awesome. Well, I'm right there with you in doing the work, the part of the work I love, which is the speaking, training, coaching, and less of the tech pieces. So I totally relate about the website and, you know, the videos, all the working on the business things that are on my list for 2024. So the podcast I've been doing for a while, and I'm excited to continue bringing people to spark that, maybe that spark to ignite a positive change in your life. So if there's something that you've heard from Katie that's caused you to go, ooh, or I hadn't thought of it that way, I totally invite you to check in with Katie, go learn about her, connect with her. Also, for me, there are some exciting things coming up in my community, which is My Best Brain on Facebook. So if you want to have My Best Brain being your best brain, check out that group. It's a free group. And my online platform, I'm getting ready to launch my magnificent memory, maintain it or regain it. I had a memory glitch. Isn't that funny? Somebody was trying to be funny. And so that's coming up in a couple weeks. It's an online course. And there's the Superman Sanctuary Summit. All the 16 sessions are there. You can get to know some amazing women who are supporting Superwoman success. And thank you so much, Katie, for being with me today. It's been such a high energy conversation. I so enjoy talking with you.
Thank you for having me. It's so much fun to be here.
As you have new explorations, or we can particularly explore a topic if I have people asking about a topic, or there's something that you're inspired to get out into the world, I would love to help you promote it, again, because of the value that I find in the work that you're doing, and think that the more people who can benefit from you and find you, the better their life will be and the better the lives of those they touch will be.
Cool. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. And I would like to remind all the listeners, we still have a few minutes left. So in case anyone wants to call with questions, it's 347-215-8390 is the phone number. So, Katie, as we're at the end, what do you want people to take away from our conversation today?
Yeah, I think the takeaway, hopefully, is that you are absolutely surrounded, beloved, and that this life, the spiritual journey, the 3D physical journey you're on, is really one about unity and integration, not about boxes and compartmentalization that we're so often led to believe, and that you really can have it all. In terms of your spiritual journey, those of you who grew up like Christian, maybe you still value the words of Jesus, even though you're not so sure about the church these days. This is not, you don't have to give this up in order to experience the fullness of the spiritual world. Those coming from other traditions, or maybe, you know, completely non-religious, non-spiritual traditions, you can find yourself to be rooted so that you can rise with spiritual allies at your side.
Yes. Creating images with words, Katie.
Oh,
I love
that,
being rooted and rise. Yes, 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 yes. So in our last 2 minutes, if there's anything else that you want to share, either about an upcoming program that you have that people might be able to access as well.
You know, right now I'm in the middle of a program called Soul Seekers for people to find their guides in a group together through shamanic journeys. We may open that back up. So right now I'm really focused on the one-to-one relationships. No huge programs coming down the pipelines right at the moment. I'll be journeying with spirit to find out what's in the pipeline maybe for later spring and the summer. But as we get into May, I know no one can start anything in May between graduations and Mother's Day and the beginning of summer. So we let May just lay as it is and then revisit in June.
Very well, Katie, again, thank you so much. I so enjoy my opportunities with international guests. And so that was one question that I forgot to ask in the couple minutes we have. What took you to Ireland for those who were
wondering?
Oh, my
gosh. I think, like, Bridget was part of it. kind of calling me here for a long, long time. You know, it really is the magical place that everyone thinks that it is. It's also a real place. People do live here. They have problems. You know, it's sort of not, like, freed from the global environment we're certainly in. But my husband and I started visiting here together about 10 years ago, and every visit we thought, do we have to leave? We don't want to leave. So finally, one day we said, do we have to leave? And we figured out a way to be able to stay. And that took quite a lot of kind of 3D paperwork in order to figure that out. But yeah, I feel really guided here, connected to the land, connected to the people, to the spirituality, and just, yeah, love living here, even though it's cold and rainy today in mid-April. You know, that's okay. It's all worth it.
Well, and it's one of those, too, where there's a calling. And the fact that every time you left, it was like, do we really have to? And how often when we experience things in this life do we go, oh, I don't want it to end, but we let it end. And sometimes we really do have a choice that, you know what, we can be in this place or do this thing more than just in this short period of time. Katie, thank you so much. You've been a blessing with you. And I do want to remind people that you do make a positive difference in the lives you touch as only you can. And I invite you to take action on something you learned or relearned in my conversation with Reverend Dr. Katie E. Valentine today that could ignite a positive change in your life. Until next time, stay safe, everyone.
Thank you for listening to Spark Radio with Ms. Melanie. Please share this show link with those you believe would enjoy and benefit from listening. We invite you to join us for upcoming shows with special guests and more sparks. May a spark you heard ignite a positive change in your life. Good day.